shows are still arriving at the Warren. It's not sunny, but the rain stopped, which is good. And it's nice to see new comedy shows arriving. This one's called Butterfly, and I'm joined by...
Gilberto Soto.
Okay, so where are you from?
Oh, I'm American, but Mexican in heritage.
Okay, so tell us about, first of all, how this show came about.
Well, the show came about, just it revolves around really masculinity and how little boys, as an example, aren't really... told to really like beautiful things. They're more told to like scary things or bad things or be really, really tough. And so I want to create a show about Butterfly that revolves around kind of my identity and what it means to be a man. And there may or there may not be, but there may be some butterflies incorporated. Not real ones, I should say.
In a way, that is still a sad thing if it's still the case that somehow as men we're weak. You know, we're weak if we like beauty.
Yeah, exactly. And I do a little story about how a little boy's desire of a blue butterfly face painting could change the outlook of his life, because that's what he wanted, and unfortunately that's not what he got.
Yeah. Okay, so this is quite heartwarming comedy, isn't it?
Well, it's funny. It's funny. So the topics I touch about, I don't know, I talk about being American, I talk about being Mexican, I talk about being gay, and then what that all really means for me. And then I do a story about my grandma and my mom and kind of some of the things they have kind of explained to me in my process of growing up.
And in terms of your identity then, where do you locate the USA and Mexico? Is it an equal mix, you know?
Oh, identity-wise, I definitely, how do I say this? I'm American in the way I'm brought up, or actually the way I've been taught to learn, but I'm Mexican in every of my values.
So what values would they be?
Oh, just family-oriented, making sure that we treat others with kindness, making sure that we never forget about our elders, and we show always respect to everyone.
And, you know, people here will see on the TV, you know, the most appalling way that gender is treated in different parts of the world,
yeah.
And even in different parts of the US. Well, generally, how is, your sexual identity treated in Mexico?
You know what? I have a really blessed kind of a family. It's been accepted fairly well. I think Mexico in general, I think, is still going through that learning curve of what it means to accept gay people or people who identify in the LGBTQI community. But I'm sure just in Mexico, even probably more in America, there seems to be a lot more, an uprising, maybe hate crimes, and as far as any kind of biases that people kind of show externally.
Can you jump on the stage, you know, in public and do LGBTQI comedy?
I think you can do it anywhere, but you just have to do it smartly. I mean, you can't just go up there and be like, I'm sucking dick.
Right.
You know, you kind of have to be like, I suck someone's dick, and then go from there. And there's children around me, so I feel bad now.
Yeah, I have to put warning strong language in my intro.
Oh, now you do.
That's fine. That's fine. So if I followed you around as a comedian then, how would I see you writing your material?
Honestly, you see me writing. So I always, well, if that means you'd have to be with me like at night, because that's when most of my material comes. You know, you wake up and you write it down, and then mostly I practice it with coworkers. So I'm like, hey, I have a new joke. Let me hear about this. I insert it in conversations, and then I do gigs every day, and then I try to practice new stuff and see what hits, and then from there I go and re-edit it, and then I try to combine different jokes together. I think it's a normal process with any comic.
But some people have said it's almost like being a journalist, comedians, because you'll forget that stuff if you don't write it down straight away.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have my little notes section in my iPhone that anytime I think of something, it's either a subject or a punchline or something, I put it in there, and then I label it as new jokes, and then every time I go to a gig, I look at that first.
Right.
But yeah, you're always observing. You're always observing anything and everything. Yesterday in my show, a lady said something right before I went on, and I caught it, and I used it as my first joke, and it hit really well. So
are you trying that stuff out live on your audience, and if it works, it works?
Yeah, I think that's why I like the Brighton Fringe, because they're more receptive to maybe try out newer material. It's a good test audience, right? Because I think a lot of comics come here, of course, do a great job, but ultimately want to get to like the Edinburgh Fringe.
And so when you go to Edinburgh, will that be a show that evolves pretty much? You keep changing it?
It will be the base of it will be the same, but yeah, absolutely. The structure may change a little bit, and even the jokes absolutely will change a little bit, and it'll get hopefully better.
A lot of comedy, particularly here, isn't based around the smiling face, yet you've been smiling through this interview, and it's there on the flyer too.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I think in order for me to be able to make people feel warm, I have to be able to feel warm myself. So if I smile, people are more apt to like hear me out a little bit. And plus, I like my jokes. Why wouldn't I smile?
Yeah. But But, you know, you can get people in the audience that aren't smiling, so do you have to deal with heckles and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially with, you know, topics of being gay. I can be a little vulgar at times, as you guys have noticed. And with that, you take in that response and then you do with what you will. I try not to put people down, but I mean, I will if I need to, right?
Yeah. And in the LGBTQI kind of comedy scene, and also wider if you want, who are your influences? Who do you like most?
Oh, that's a great question. I'll just do like Dave Chappelle, Louis C.K. I know it's taboo to say, but whatever. I do like Amy Schumer. I like Wanda Sykes. I like Lisa Lampanelli. I like some more. I like Monique. Here in the UK, I like Jimmy Carr a lot. And I like myself.
Like Jimmy Carr's full of gags, isn't he?
Yeah, it's full of gags, but really smart gags. And what he does perfectly is he does his jokes and he does every hand movement, every laughter that he does. It's all perfectly kind of laid out, and I really respect that art. Yeah.
What are you doing 5 minutes before you go on stage?
5 minutes before I'm going on stage, I'm usually doing the sign of the cross, and then I'm touching my heart and saying my affirmation that I have. A little cheesy, I know, but
okay,
it helps me.
But Jesus gets you the laughs.
Well, Jesus is in my show, so yeah, he does.
Yeah. And 5 minutes after it ends?
And 5 minutes after it ends, I'm usually thinking of everything I didn't do right, like any comic does. And we think about the ways to improve it. And then I'm drinking the rest of my water I have on stage because I'm really parched by the end.
So finally, what's your invitation for people to come and see Butterfly?
Well, come see Butterfly. I'm fucking hilarious. I'm a sure thing, is what my mom says. And it's really a show about a little boy's desire of wanting a blue butterfly face painting, and maybe you'll connect with it at the end.
Gilberto, thanks very much for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you.
That's lovely.